Now there's a second aspect. And that is the individual in this process begins to live more and more inwardly. He begins to discover his inner life, his inner consciousness, inner body, inner life, inner mind, and the inner psychic being. You remember once we have spoken of subliminal consciousness. Subliminal consciousness is this inner consciousness. It is a larger consciousness, vaster consciousness. So, the center of our life shifts from outer to the inner. This is the mark of any progress in yoga. That you become less and less superficial. You become more and more inward. More ingathered. Deeply interested in your inner life. Even Bhagavad Gita says that the mark of a yogi is that he likes solitude. Automatically. And even when he is in the company, he remains still solitary. Or even when he partakes with others, he is not lost in superficialities. He doesn't gossip. Gossiping becomes automatically something foreign. It does not mean that he loses humor or wit or anything of the kind. But the superficiality is lost. And even the outer life is lived as if his inner life. It has the same depth, same seriousness, same purposiveness, same sense of responsibility. Even the outer life, nothing happens in the outer life which is irresponsible, which is purely superficial, which is unpurposive. His mother said, even in a joke you should not tell the truth. You should not tell a lie. Even in a joke. Because there is so much of seriousness in your activities. It may be a superficial joke, but it must be expressive of the truth, because your inner life is pursuer of the truth. A stage is reached where the distinction between outer and inner altogether disappears. Your inner life becomes so deep, and outer life is so much drenched with your inner life, that to call this outer and this call that inner, that whole wall is broken. Your whole life is an inner life. This is the second condition. The third condition is, third condition of ascent towards supermind is to recognize the more and more direct operation and experience of the law of evolution. we recognize that in any movement in which you are moving upwards, there will be a rhythm. And it is good to know that rhythm and the law of the rhythm. The law of the rhythm is the law of evolution. What is that law? You have to recognize that in your movement upwards, there is no direct jump from where you are to the highest. If there was no evolution, one could do that. But there is a law of evolution. And the law of evolution is that there is a gradual development. All evolution means a graded and gradual development. From grade to grade. As you rise from one grade to the other, there is a further evolutionary law. That by gradual steps you reach a certain peak of that particular grade, and for some time you will be able to dwell in it until it becomes firm in you. This is part of the law. You rise upwards to a grade, then there will be an effort automatically helpful to you which will stabilize you on that certain height of that consciousness. Having become firm on that point, you will develop activities appropriate to that grade. These activities will become more and more varied, more and more subtle, more and more complex. Just as, for example, we have evolved from animal consciousness to human consciousness. It is one grade. Animal consciousness is one grade, human consciousness is another grade. Now, when you rise to the mental consciousness, which is the proper human consciousness, then what happens? Your activities of the mind begin to develop. What are the activities of the mind? Activities of observation. Activities of judgment. Activities of understanding. Activities of analysis. Activities of synthesis. Activities of rational philosophy, activities of ethical action, and activities of aesthetic creativity and enjoyment. These are the activities proper to mind of man. These activities will become more and more developed. They'll become more and more subtle. They have become more and more complex. Now the same law applies when you go beyond mind. You will reach the next grade. Having reached the next grade, the activities appropriate to that grade will become more and more subtle, more and more numerous, and more complex. Then there is a further movement of what is called integration. This was the movement first of ascent, stabilization of reaching that particular point of ascent. Then there is a movement of integration. you move downward. All that you were doing earlier will again be repeated. You might feel that you are falling down now from that higher level. But actually it is not a fall. It's a natural tendency to integrate what is left behind. You have ascended, now what was left behind is again taken up by the higher level of consciousness. So you descend down gradually to lower and lower activities. During that period you might find that you are now collapsing. You have lost the height which you had reached. But what is happening actually is that you are embracing the lower in the light of the higher. At every stage you are giving the contagion of the higher to the lower. So there is a kind of a descent, and there is therefore the process of integration, which will be quite long. Then there is a further movement of upward movement. After integrating, you again move upwards. But now in moving upward, your peak point is not your earlier peak point. You will have made an ascent to another grade, a higher peak point. Then again you multiply the activities of that peak point, make it more complex, more numerous, more subtle. Having reached there, again you come down, again you move upward. This law of gradations is a part of evolutionary process. It is here, therefore, we have to realize that whenever the higher descends into the lower, there is modification of the higher. Diminution of the power of the higher, because you have come down. But the higher the power which you have reached, the lesser the diminution. Therefore, constantly we move upwards until you reach the supermind. And when supermind begins to integrate all the rest, there is no diminution. It can sovereignly integrate all the others. A very rapid process takes place. What can be done in a million years can be done in 100 years. That is the rapidity of that movement. Now the question is, what are the variations that you come across between the mind and the supermind? It is here that Sri Aurobindo now describes first the gradation of the higher mind, then the gradation of the illumined mind, then the gradation of the intuitive mind, then the gradation of the overmind, and then the supermind. These are the gradations. It is when the entire process is completed, then you attain the supermind and you are able to live in the supermind. You reach that peak point. Then you bring down little by little on lower and lower planes. And that can be completed only when it descends right into the inconscient, the lowest level. And that is converted, transformed. Then there is the fixing of supermind in the inconscient base, transform the inconscient into the supermind. That is the mark of the victory. So it's a long process of development. Very, very long process. Very difficult process. But if you know the law of evolution and likely experiences, then we are guided properly. What is the nature of this gradation? What is higher mind? What is illumined mind? What is intuitive mind? How to distinguish between them? This is an extremely difficult task, because all these gradations are so alien to our present level of mentality that it is very difficult to understand them. So I would suggest that you just read them. Even if you don't understand, it does not matter, because these are pertaining to experiences of which we are not immediately capable. But for the sake of some glimpse, it may be useful at least to know how humble we should be, because all these things are still to be conquered yet. And a lot of work has to be done, so that we know that what we know or what we are doing is nothing as compared to what is to be done. So I suggest that during the time that we are not meeting for some time, you read these passages from this book.